Marshall University education professor and conference organizer Linda Spadick says the theme is known realities and imagined possibilities.
I guess the imagined possibilities, one of the things I hope comes from that part of the theme is giving a good bit of attention to Appalachian activism. What can we do to make a better future in Appalachia, not just in our scholarship, but in our community, in our roles in our communities?
Spadick says the Appalachian Studies Association, which hosts the conference, also wants more young people involved.
Sometimes we at our conference have lamented the fact that the folks on our steering committee or the folks in the audiences were getting gray. We're seeing fewer young people come in, and that trend is beginning to shift, and we wanted that to continue to shift with a focus on contemporary issues. So we're not just valuing and respecting the long traditions of music and quilting and the foods and all that, but we're also paying attention to the diversity and good things and problems that exist in Appalachia today.
Interest in defining the region dates back to the late 1800s with Berea College President William G. Frost. Appalachian Studies Association President and Berea College Professor Chris Green says interest increased in the 1960s during President Johnson's War on Poverty.
Then in the 1970s, when there was also the rise of ethnic and racial awareness, whether or not it's with La Raza and the Chicano community, whether or not it's with African Americans and Black Power, there is also a sense of Appalachians being come together too. When I say Appalachians, I don't mean the white people in Appalachia. I mean all peoples in Appalachia, because Appalachia, like the rest of our nation, is in a conglomeration of many different races and many different ethnicities, because we share this thing in common, and this thing is a place where everybody lives.
But Green says perceptions of Appalachia based on images created during the War on Poverty still remain. He cites a story by ABC News anchor Diane Sawyer called A Hidden America, Children of the Mountains, as an example.
And we saw that with the Diane Sawyer 2020 episode about Martin County, Kentucky, that she was focusing on there. I just had students down from Vermont who asked me, they had come down to work with the Christian Appalachian Project, whose 50th year anniversary it is too, is Mountain Dew Mouth real? Which was something that happened on that 2020 show. And I talked to them about the lack of health care, the need for better insurance, the need for jobs, for people to have good food access as well. And so those images are still out there, unfortunately. The fortunate part is that people all over Appalachia, people have been doing hard, important work of affirmation and reclamation too, and going beyond those images into the cultural wealth of people all over the place.
Green points out the War on Poverty has helped with building a foundation of infrastructure across the region that includes highways as well as water and sewer systems. He says the challenge now is building up the human capital.
I think a really good example of where we see a lot of that going on is with Create West Virginia, drawing together a group of disparate entrepreneurs from all over the state to get together and to think about the resources that are there that they can make amazing good things happen with and profitable businesses happen with as well.
The conference will offer sessions and research presentations. Topics range from exploring the coal industry, mountaintop removal mining, and environmental concerns, to looking at healthcare needs and access, as well as literature, food, music, and gender issues. Green says one particularly timely presentation on Friday morning will explore the economic, cultural, and social conditions in the Carpathian Mountain region of Ukraine.
There's a saying that Jerry Williamson, who's the old editor of the Appalachian Journal, had, and he says, everybody's got one. And the one that everybody has is a place of raw resource extraction in the mountains. And that's true whether or not you're in Italy or whether or not you're in the Ukraine in the Carpathian Mountains. That all industry needs the minerals, they need the timber, and as a result, these mountain areas are underdeveloped, oftentimes economically, and culturally quite different from the surrounding areas. So the Ukrainians who are coming, this has been going on, maybe 10 years or longer, where we've had very rich cultural exchanges with the Ukrainian Carpathian Mountains and Appalachia, but there's that kind of long-term resonance and connection, whether or not it's with the mountains and the coal in Colombia and the issues that those coal miners are facing, or the coal miners here in Appalachia are facing. We have a lot to learn from each other, both in our own communities and from around the world.
Conference organizer Linda Spadick says pre-registration is not required and walk-ins are welcome. She says, thanks to a West Virginia Humanities grant, some of the events are also free and open to the public, including three plenary sessions and the keynote address by Kentucky writer Silas House. The conference starts Friday morning and ends Sunday afternoon. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Cecilia Mason.